Welcome to this very special edition of the Team Rails podcast. My name's Simon Clark. I'm founder of Speakeasy Club, and I'm delighted to be your host. And we sit down with a number of Team Rails partners, and we get a bit of an insight into them as a business, but also their motivations for being involved and supporting Team Rails. And we really get into some cracking discussions, to be honest, around mental health, but what mental health looks like in business, sport, and life. Really complex conversations, but at the same time, some really light-hearted stuff, some really interesting insights. And in this episode, we are delighted to sit down with Chief Marketing Officer at Pure Cyber, Kerry Maund. I really enjoyed Kerry's company anyway, but in this particular conversation, it was really nice just to kind of sit down and unpick a little bit of the day-to-day, really, of what makes Kerry tick, but also what works for the staff and the team at Pure Cyber. There's some lovely little bits in there as well. And as always, we're really interested to hear your feedback, so please do comment, like, subscribe, all that sort of stuff. And for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy this latest episode of the Team Wales Partner Podcast. Kerry, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. Really, really appreciate your time. I know it's been a hectic day already. Hopefully this certainly won't add to it. Before we kick off, I just want to hand over to you. Can you give us a bit of a flavour of your role within Pure Cyber as a company, and then that partnership with Team Wales?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So I'm Kerry Maund. I'm the Chief Marketing Officer for Pure Cyber. So we are a cybersecurity consultancy headquartered in Cardiff, operating globally across many sectors, seeing quite rapid growth recently. And yeah, so we're a team of just coming up to 50 staff now, all based in Cardiff. So we're part in Wales and with a global reach, as we say. And so we deliver everything from your governance cyber essentials to ISO 27000. We have a full pen testing team, which is very, very busy at the moment, and a 24/7 SOC as well. So we do all the active threat detection piece, and we offer those in unique subscriptions. So we are fairly unique globally in providing all of that from one single provider. So we're very busy.
Yeah, it sounds incredibly complex, but incredibly vital as well. More so than ever, and I think only it's only going to get more and more as well.
Yeah.
So I guess you mentioned there you're based in Cardiff and your heart's in Wales. Was that a bit of a pull to get involved with Team Wales?
Yeah, so obviously being a Welsh headquartered organisation, supporting our Commonwealth team was an easy decision for us. And we were loving working with the team from the youth games all the way up to hopefully soon the sort of official games as well. So it's been really exciting partnership and lots going on, very active across Wales and beyond, really. So yeah, and lots of exciting things to come.
But for the listeners, they won't be able to see the smile on your face when you're talking about that. So clearly it's a really positive thing.
Yeah.
That's great to hear. I'm going to ask a really straightforward question now. What does mental health mean to you? And it's not that straightforward, because it's probably as complex as cybersecurity to a certain extent. And it's a very broad phrase, but what are your first impressions and what comes to mind?
Yeah, so it's something that having been sort of in the working environment for quite a few years now, has become more and more important. And for me personally, the discussions around it definitely sort of improved over the years. And as an organisation, we are absolutely passionate that our teams are supported around their mental health. As you can imagine, as we've touched on already, cybersecurity brings with it a lot of responsibility, and that can be stressful on many levels. So it's incredibly important to us that our teams from whatever level feel that they have that support network around them. And that is a really authentic, genuine sort of piece for us as an organization. I'd like to think, even as we grow, that remains the same. I feel that there's a passion that everyone brings their whole self to work. We don't, it is a drive from the CEO down, that whatever you're going through from a personal perspective and a work perspective, you're able to find a way to share that if you're struggling in any way. So communication is huge for us. Knowing that you've got that support network, regardless of who that is within the business. Some people are more comfortable talking to others. Some are more comfortable talking to their managers, potentially. But encouraging that communication is huge for us, and so that nobody sort of holds anything in that they potentially could be helped with if they shared.
Absolutely. I think it's really important to mention there around it's not necessarily the person that you should be talking to is the one you feel most comfortable. It could be someone completely unrelated. And that may be particularly in the workplace, people feel that those hierarchical structures, if they are in place, you know, that's where you've got to go. But recognizing that, you also smile quite a bit when we talked about authenticity. I do this a lot, by the way.
Okay. Yeah.
You smile and talked about, you know, being authentic and living those values and also bringing your whole self to work. Just how important is that for you individually, but then for you as an organization as well?
Yeah, I think, for me individually, I think, through my experiences, sometimes I've felt like I haven't brought my whole self to work in different organizations that I've worked in on a global sort of scale. So I feel really passionate that our employees and obviously myself feel like they can be whoever they are and make sure that they don't feel like they need to hide anything when they come to work. And we have a diverse workforce. And we encourage everyone to just be themselves. We're a very welcoming and friendly organization, so I think that helps. And, we're absolutely sort of so proud of the team. And I think that feeling, like I mentioned, authentic, there is an authentic drive behind that. We're not a box-ticking organization. You know, there's a passion from Damon, our CEO, right from the start, in that everyone feels comfortable in their environment and doesn't feel like they need to sort of hold anything back. And I think that comes across from day one. He doesn't, so I don't think anyone else should. So, I'm really proud of us as an organization. We obviously offer a lot on the sort of HR and the support and the sort of employee assistance program and all the things that an organization should offer. But I think we go above and beyond in terms of how, I suppose, supportive we are in a genuine sense. So I think quite often you mentioned not always going to sort of your manager or role, but I think as a more senior in age person within the organization, sometimes people feel comfortable chatting to me. I get called workman quite a lot. So I take that as a compliment. Yeah. It's quite interesting that we also have a mental health first aider who is absolutely incredible and brings with him incredible experiences of what he did before he came to Pure Cyber, being ex-military. And yeah, so we are very lucky in that sense that we have a lot of sort of genuine support there for our teams. And yeah, we arrange a lot of different things in different ways that people can sort of communicate and share and feel relaxed enough to talk about how they're managing. Some of them are social, some of them are just a walk in the fresh air that we sort of put really sort of casual. But it's nice when you have those conversations outside of that working environment as well. I think you get to know people a little bit more, and they're more happy then to sort of chat to you about other things that may be going on outside of the workplace.
Yeah, I think first of all, workman is definitely a compliment.
I used to be slightly offended, but now I'm like, okay, well, I'll take that as a compliment.
Really, yeah, I can understand, but it's absolutely a compliment. It's a great thing. And I think you mentioned there around whether it's socials or creating environments. You know, I haven't had any direct experience of Pure Cyber yet, but when you see things on social media or online, or you talk to people about the experience they have in Pure Cyber's presence. And I say Pure Cyber is an organization because, again, the people do embody that. It's an incredibly positive thing. It comes across as authentic, and it comes across as a type of organization that ultimately is dealing with a really tricky thing, products, area of the world. But ultimately, that doesn't mean that the people that work within it need to be any less cared for and any less kind of looked after, really, I guess. So that's the impression I get externally as well. Yeah, the thing I wanted to just pick up on there with you, you talked about environments. You know, I've just had a long conversation in another episode. I've been away the magic of recording podcasts now. Mm-hmm. And around permission, around giving people permission to be able to feel how they feel in that moment. Kind of, what does that mean to you?
I think from the moment somebody starts in the organization, there's a sort of genuine desire for everyone to feel comfortable, to be open. And like you say, there's a pressured environment that particularly some of the teams work in. And sometimes it's their first working roles. If they've come through our graduate scheme, you know, there's you come from a sort of student with maybe some experience through into the real life role. You know, there is a change in dynamics there. So we are very, very careful in that first sort of 6 months of that period in terms of where that support network is. So some of it is more sort of officially set up with HR, but also they will have a buddy system. They'll have a mentor within the business that they know that they can chat to about. Their peer-to-peer support is just incredible. I'm so proud of them when I listen to them talking, because I listen to everything. Listen to them talk about their roles and how, if they're worried about something or how something is being done and how maybe that could be improved. You know, there's a real openness to discussions. And I think that really helps in terms of then sort of personal situations. So if they can talk like that about their working environment, then I think sometimes if something's going on at home or their situation has changed or something's come up, then I feel like they're far more open to talk about that. And, you know, from my side of things, in terms of mental health, that from experience, that's the number one barrier, I think, in terms of improving people's mental health, is that feeling that, I can talk about this, or I can say I'm struggling without anything coming back on them as a negative response of, well, they couldn't cope with that, so we'll kind of move on or give that to somebody else next time, or those kind of things. So, yeah, I think, you know, we are, I say lucky, but also it's driven by the organisation and how it was set up, in that, you know, the teams feel they can talk like that. And, you know, I'd love to say I could bring anybody onto this call and they would all say the same thing. I generally think that they would. So, yeah, as we grow now, it's really important that continues, so that our sort of core values are real sort of set in stone, because we are still on a journey of growth. So that is, you know, something that we talk about within the business planning continually. It's very high on the agenda, and Damon's very passionate that we support not only our teams, but externally as well. So we, as you mentioned, we'll do a lot of community and charity support as an organization, and a lot of that is driven on the mental health sort of agenda, and where we can support organizations such as Mind, for instance, and with fundraising or promotion or team entry into things. I'm always persuading them to do something. So yeah, it's really important to us as an organization.
Mums are everything, don't
they? I'm very persuasive as well. So yeah, and they always enjoy it in the end, I say.
Whether they say or not, but you will always say it. And again, I think it's a sort of looking for, it's a real endorsement of the environment and the culture you're trying to create, where your first instinct was to go with everyone. And I know you checked yourself to go, well, we put a lot of work in, and this is what happens there. It worked. But because you believe it, you live it, it's natural. You think, oh, we're lucky it's worked. So I think that's a real endorsement that it's a brilliant thing in the environment you create.
We've just got fantastic people. Honestly, I know we'll harp on about how proud I am, but they are genuinely, and I think it resonates across our client base. You know, we've got lovely clients as well. And so that real, genuine, I think, desire to support clients and support company also carries on within the organization, that we support each other. So yeah, it sort of cuts across everything we do, really, in that we are there to help, I suppose, in what we do as a service, but also with each other within the organization.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit off piste here, because you've mentioned something there that I want to explore a little bit more.
Okay.
Don't be too scared, because I'm more terrified about where this can go. But I think, and this is still for me, this is very much on a mental health space, because, you know, what you just mentioned there about kind of celebrating and acknowledging, and we don't do that enough, I think. I don't think we celebrate ourselves. We don't celebrate each other. And that is a thing that really helps with connection, which really helps with well-being and really helps with positive mental health. I think I just want to kind of get your kind of thoughts on championing each other, ourselves in the business space, but also maybe some of that positive challenge as well. We don't just celebrate for the sake of it, because you are doing incredible things, absolutely fantastic. And the growth, again, that I've seen externally is huge. And that's only the snapshot that I've seen. So I think that is such an important thing that does help mental health, that we recognize everyone else's achievements and kind of what's important to them. It's a really kind of long-winded way I've gone about that. So if you've picked up what I'm trying to ask you, I'll be well impressed.
Well, I guess, but if I give the wrong answer, you can correct me. But I think celebrating, we celebrate the teams in lots of different ways. So we have annual awards, for instance, and I would say the awards criteria are quite diverse, probably more diverse than I'd want to share on this podcast. But they do recognize individuals' contributions, which can be very unique. So, and everyone brings something new to the table. The contributions can be very, very diverse, but very valued within the organization. So that's one thing. We also do a lot of, I suppose, we have something called Wolfies, which are monthly awards that at the end of the year get turned into a financial contribution. But they are sort of just monthly contribution awards. So they've got a certain value to them that is at the end of the day converted to pounds. Yeah, and they are brilliant. And they are given for the things that you were talking about, I think, in celebrating maybe somebody giving, sort of going above and beyond, really, I suppose, in terms of what they're doing for each other, peer-to-peer support, and also sort of externally as well. So there's those kind of things. But I think with us, it's quite a genuine, I suppose, there's a genuine side to it. And sometimes if it's too corporate, it doesn't sit quite so well with us. So we are all about, those unique contributions, really, and celebrating what our team's uniqueness brings to us as an organization. And also leaning on that from a sort of where people's sort of natural ability and skills are, and helping others through that. So we do tend to do that quite a lot. So some of our team, in terms of the neurodiversity, you know, there's a cybersecurity can, you know, have quite a diverse workforce from that side of things. And there's a lot of support around that. But also it's incredible. So we've just got brilliant people. So they each bring something a little bit different, really. And I think that diverse sort of nature helps us an organization in terms of what we sort of deliver externally. So there's a lot of genuine support for people within the business that I think we celebrate all the time, really. Any excuse to celebrate, Simon?
Well, that's the biggest smile I've recorded so far.
Yeah. So, well, if anyone knows me, they'll know. If you know, you know.
Exactly. But that's, again, the way you've just spoken there is clearly, you know, just because we run this big business, it's a global business that ultimately is dealing with some really high risk, potentially repercussions. Not to oversimplify, you know, look after people, just be a good person, look after people, because that's what we're there about. And I think that's something that's coming across loud and clear from you, but also it's embedded in the organization, which is ultimately what I think is what it's all about. And I think you talked about some of the awards maybe not being the most traditionally corporate, but they're relatable. That's what people can relate to, and that's where you're going to get the biggest connection. And we won't go any further than that, I promise.
No, but we never struggle to come up for an award for everybody. So no losers at Pure Cyber. Everyone's a winner. So yeah, there's always some contribution we can relate it to. So good.
I'm interested just to explore the global bit as well a little bit more. You know, it's kind of, so my knowledge of cybersecurity is very limited. My father was a criminal defense lawyer for 35 years and then went into cybersecurity in his last 10 years. So it's more around the enforcement piece.
Yeah.
But I picked up bits around there's different cultures, there's different times, there's different ways of having conversations, there's different things to consider. You mentioned that maybe neurodiverse people can be quite a good fit. So there's lots of different moving parts, I guess, within terms of the people. What are some of the kind of positive experiences you've had that jump out at you really when it comes to people?
Yeah. I think from our side is that, you know, we are a consultancy. So we are, obviously, some of our service is a technical delivery, but it's the personal approach around that is really, really important. We always consider ourselves an extension of a team, whether it's we're working with an MSP on behalf of a client or we're working alongside the internal expertise. You know, we're passionate that cyber should be a separation of duties from IT, but we should be working in collaboration together. That works globally, obviously, in terms of who we work with. It doesn't matter where somebody's based, you know, we really need to know that organization to become a trusted part of their team. And that to us is all around the people, you know. So we just have the most amazing feedback from our clients. It makes me so proud. It's really difficult to share that because we don't share a lot about our clients because of the security risk around that. But some of the words that we get sent is, you know, obviously very, very proud to be a part of that. And knowing our clients is actually paramount to delivering the best service that we can, whether that's technical or a personable approach. You know, they certainly consider us to be an extension of their team. And we take that burden of cyber, which can be incredibly stressful. Sometimes that's on the shoulders of one person. You know, and if something goes wrong, then 9 times out of 10, they're the ones that will take that burden of whatever's happened and the repercussions that sometimes go along that. I mean, we see people lose their jobs because of that. So, you know, in terms of what we deliver and how that mental health support really goes out, you know, we are supporting those individuals. There's been a report recently around sort of the pressures on IT departments around the cyber risk and the concerns around that mental health. You know, so for us to be able to, you know, we're a team of 50 basically acting for that organization 24/7, 365, you know, at the end of the day, you know, some of the things that we get sent back as a thank you when we are onboarded is, you know, there's a genuine need for that. As you mentioned, cyber is incredibly complex and you know, the landscape moves on a continuum, basically. So, yeah, it's one of those sort of moving pieces that unless you have an absolutely expert team on it 24/7 with all the developments that go with it, it can be quickly sort of lost, really. So, yeah, in terms of the work that the team do, it is incredible. And the feedback they get, you know, is sort of second to none. And I think globally that works. Obviously, we work with clients all over the world, but we work in exactly the same way so that we really understand their organization. We really understand their risks. We know where the criticals are, where that journey of improvement comes on, and then we take them on that journey. So there's a lot of, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, in terms of externally, I suppose we deliver a lot of mental health support in some respects, if you think of it that way. Just that, the stress of responsibility, really.
Yeah, I think as much as I'm an advocate of celebrating our successes and what people think of us, I think sometimes when it comes to security risks, you can't really say, they had this, we solved it for them, but it doesn't really work that way.
Yeah, we don't. No, I know. No, we don't. We don't talk about it. Yeah, it's a steep learning curve in the marketing. I was like, what do you mean we can't have case studies? But anyway, but we hear it. And I think that's probably what's the most important thing.
I think the other really interesting bit there you talked about, which, you know, we can use really corporate language like psychological safety, or we can say just being good people, which is what I prefer. Uh-huh. And I think you talk about the agility that you as an organization need to have with the ever-changing world and the fast-paced work involves creating that environment for the staff to be able to be agile as well, to feel safe and to know that, look, if things aren't quite going the way they had, and again, from a neurodiversity point of view, might be trickier for some. So it's a real testament to you as a senior leader, but the whole organization really around, you know, the people really reflect kind of the business as well. And you're right, again, from what I've heard, if you were to bring anyone on this call, they sounds like they would say the same. And that's a really, really cool thing.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, obviously we've a lot of personal support within the organization, but also from a professional development perspective, every employee has their own program to follow. So in terms of education and feeling confident in your role, that is always provided. So, you know, it's a continuous thing, cyber, and the qualifications and accreditations that our team need, they are provided and given, and those opportunities to learn and develop are always there. So, yeah, so hopefully in terms of their role and what they're doing, you know, they are feeling confident from that perspective and then supported from the sort of the wider perspective as well.
Absolutely. I've got two more questions to ask.
Okay.
And again, no need to feel too anxious, I guess.
Okay.
I'm really interested just for all those listening, we've talked about a fair bit there. I think in terms of your personal values, but your values as an organization as well, they're pretty clear and really powerful. For those that are listening, if there's one kind of thing, there's one behavior that you think is really important in looking after people, what's that one thing for you?
I just think that I keep using the word authentic and genuine, but is that we genuinely care. So I know as an organization, we do generally care about each other. And I mentioned being the sort of workman type of thing, but people just come and have a chat to me. And I think just that openness to feel, that they can chat to me openly. And this, likewise, they can chat to David, anybody really within the business, and know that there's going to be a response that is supportive. That is, to me, that's just goes hand above anything else, really. The worst thing that I would feel within the organisation, if someone felt that they couldn't talk about it. And I feel like to date, we have got that genuine response, really, that they can come and chat. And I think talking is probably the most, I don't know, I might be wrong, but being able to talk about something is probably, to me, the most powerful tool that you could have, really. So I might be wrong there, you might correct me, but to me that is, to feel like they are happy to chat is just the best thing.
Yeah, I mean, certainly no correction here. There's no, I don't think there's a right or wrong starters. I agree with you. I think if you feel safe to talk, it means the person in front of you or the environment is a safe place, and you know where that information is going to land. You're not going to be judged, you're not going to be ridiculed, and it's one of those things that you think feel comfortable here, and I can progress from there. I'm not just going to sit in it. Let's get better. I'm really glad I made a note actually of one of the things I was going to say, but you said it before me.
Right.
I written down, I thought, I bet you think you'd be really disappointed if people couldn't come and chat to you.
Would. Honestly, I would. Yeah. I do say things. You can tell me anything. I feared it all. Nothing shocks me, although I have been shocked through time actually after that statement. But yeah, I do feel like, sometimes, I don't use the word anger the ant either, but I just feel like I'm probably the easiest or one of the most easiest people to chat something through with. And but likewise, it goes across the business. So yeah, we are, like, I don't use the word lucky again either, but we are really privileged to have just great people. We've just got fantastic people, and we're, from a recruitment perspective, I think that helps, because we're, we have a constant, I suppose, application process where people just want to come and work for us. And I think that says a lot, basically. It's in a very competitive environment. And, cyber is one of the biggest growth sectors, not just in Wales, but globally. And to be sent sort of CVs on an absolutely regular basis of people who just want to come, and when the next opportunity is, they want to come and work for us, just I think says a lot, hopefully, of how we are sort of perceived.
And yeah, absolutely. A workman is definitely the best place to be. It's one of the best compliments around.
Well, I've taken it on the chin now, but yeah, and first I was like, oh, but then I am reminded that most of them are half my age, so there we are. I suppose that's it.
We'll move on.
Yeah. Go on, yeah.
Last question, you are free. To be honest, I think I might have a bit of an idea, but something that's really important to me is about the clubhouse. Where's your clubhouse, and where's that place you feel safe? You can be you, not judged, wherever it is. You say the word clubhouse and immediately maybe the thought is bricks and mortar, but it doesn't have to be. It's a place, it's a feeling, it's a group, whatever it might be. And there are no right or wrong answers. It's just whatever it feels like to you. So Kerry Moore, to ask you the question, where's your clubhouse?
Well, Fierce Cyber HQ is pretty cool. I got to be honest, it is. We got the option to work from home, hybrid or whatever, for most of the staff. But we all, 9 times out of 10, choose to be here. And I think, again, that says a lot for the organisation. We're lucky to have a fabulous space. We've got areas where you want quiet, you have quiet, we've got areas that are more communal, sharing spaces, chill out zones. Just really nice. It is a really nice place to be. So yeah, it's a good clubhouse, if you want to call it that, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think you mentioned it there. People, if they choose to be in the office now rather than working at home, unless there's a specific reason, that is a real testament.
Yeah.
I don't think many businesses can say that nowadays.
No, they don't want to miss that. Yeah, there's some good stuff that goes on here. So yeah, you can definitely miss out if you decide to work from home one day by surprise. Yeah, there's lots of good things, and Most people choose to be here, which I think other companies really struggle with getting people sort of back into the office environment. So we're doing something right. I don't know, probably a little bit of a mix of everything, but yeah, it is good.
It's definitely working. It seems to be definitely working. Is there anything else that you want to share or that is on your mind around sort of mental health in business, sport and life?
You know, I think it's that communication is key, really. And I'm very lucky to have a great network in business and in friendship and family, which I lean on externally as well. And I hope they would feel that they can come to me with anything. Nothing shocks me, Simon. So,
That is next week's episode, by the way. Those things that did shock you, that'll be next week.
Yeah, we might have to censor that one. But I hope that people feel that, you know, not just in work, but my sort of network as well, and my friends, obviously. But, I just feel like talking can stop something terrible happening at the end of the day.
Close to finish. Yes. Kerry, thank you so much for your time. Amazing and fascinating to learn a bit more about Pure Cyber as well, particularly about the people bit. And just please keep doing what you're doing. I think there's a lot of lucky people that work there. So Kerry Warren, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Simon.
I hope you enjoyed that episode with Kerry. I just loved it. I really enjoyed sitting down with her. So easy to get on with and chat, and lots of insightful stuff as well from a business and a personal point of view. I really enjoyed the kind of aspect of the work mum bit. I totally understand Kerry's perspective on it, but I think it really just screams trust, it screams empathy, and it really screams kind of someone who allows people to be seen and heard, which isn't necessarily always very common. So I think that's a really, really lovely place to be. Stay tuned. We've got more episodes coming up in this series. Don't forget to take a little listen back if you haven't heard all of them yet. There's lots and lots of good stuff to take away from Team Wales Partners. And we look forward to hearing from you and seeing you next time on the Team Wales Partner podcast.